Good afternoon, James. Thanks for having me on. There's a lot of factors, mate, that can lead to poor mental health, and Bill touched on a few of them there, like industry instability, whether it's closures or prices or supermarket pressures. There's natural disasters, and farming is a tough gig, and you're always under financial pressure. Which is another reason, that can, one of those other triggers that can lead to poor mental health. And you touched on plenty of the statistics from the National Farmers report, wellbeing report. And when you get alarming figures like, nearly half of, thought or had thoughts of suicide, and 30% of farmers that were surveyed have attempted suicide or attempted self-harm. That's like they're alarming figures, and that equates to a farmer every 10 days that suicides. And isolation plays a big part in it. And talking about areas, around Broken Hill and north, there's isolation, but isolation doesn't necessarily just mean geographical isolation. You can feel isolated in a fairly tight community, and I think it's really important that we educate ourselves, and storytelling plays a big part, and showing that vulnerability, like that everyone, Wes and Brendan and that have shown, that breaks down that stigma and tries to normalize the conversation, which I think is really important.
We've talked about isolation, but what are the main barriers to health and treatment, particularly for farmers?
Look, access to services is definitely one of them. It's, something that comes up time and time again, particularly in the communities I get to work in, that the access to services. But there is services available to most people, and whether they're online or within their own community, that you can reach out to. But it's just knowing where they are, and I think that's one of the things that I try and talk about is creating a proactive toolbox to your mental health and knowing where these places are. But one of the most important things, particularly in a reasonably isolated community, is understanding who's in your support network. Understand who your five people are. If the proverbial hits the fan, who are you going to turn to and have these conversations? And I understand that, you might be by yourself, you might be out on a station, very isolated, but who are those people that are on the end of your phone that you can ring and have these conversations? And that can be the first port of call, that first conversation, but then also have in your toolbox, who are the services that are around? And if not, Lifeline's number or TAC's phone number or whichever these services are that we can tap into and at least talk to a professional that could, step in and point us in the right direction on how to recover. Because I know myself from my own story, it can be a very isolating, scary, dark place when you're, in that spiral and you haven't got the tools to grab onto the edge of that spiral.
Traditionally, there's been, the stereotype of like just getting things done, moving on, getting over it. How do you get past that to recognize that you do actually have a problem and need some help?
Yeah, and that's one of the things like I talk about quite often is that word resilience, and particularly in rural communities, we all get tagged with that, they're a very resilient person or they're a very resilient community. And resilience means, recovering quickly from adversity or any, hiccups in your life. But for me, resilience is not so much a character trait, but it's born out of lack of other options. So, my own personal story, and you hear these other personal stories, you've got no other choice sometimes than to pick yourself up and dust yourself off. But it's really important to have in your plan, in your mental health toolbox, that plan to make sure that you're looking out after your own well-being and try and understand your emotions and the signs that you need to look out for, that you go, well, I am starting to spiral out of control here. I need to talk to someone. I need to reach out. But also in those communities where I heard one of the former speakers just say, you look tired or whatever. Well, they're the signs that you need to, you know, start those conversations around. If someone's looking different to what they, or, you know, or acting differently, their behaviour's different to what they normally are, you know, you need to reach out and ask them if they're okay. And that's one of the things, you know, it takes a lot of courage to reach out and ask for help, but it takes just as much courage to reach in and ask someone how they're doing and be prepared for that conversation.
We've got to go, but thanks for your time this afternoon, Warren. It's been good to talk to you.
No worries, James. Thank you.